Turn to page 113 in the off-white, off-red book that's in the back. Or maybe you picked one up on your way in. Hail to the Lord's anointed.
Good morning, and welcome to this service of worship of our loving God. The sun is peeking through. That's nice. It's bright. It's light. But that is always great for our spirits, but that's not the source of our joy. It's inside, but we appreciate the sun. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 33, verses 3 to 9 from the Common English Bible. And I'm going to take the liberty of interjecting the first three verses in the Bible in the middle of that passage. So note that. Reading from Psalm 33. Sing to the Lord a new song. Play your best with joyful shouts. Because the Lord's word is right. His every act is done in good faith. He loves righteousness and justice. The Lord's faithful love fills the whole earth. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep. And God's wind swept over the waters. God said, let there be light. And so the light appeared. The skies were made by the Lord's word, all their starry multitude by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the ocean waters into a heap. He put the deep seas into storerooms. All the earth honors the Lord. All the earth inhabitants stand in awe of him. Because when he spoke, it happened. When he commanded, there it was.
Our scripture today is John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light.
Join me in prayer. God, I thank you for Pastor Joel, for how you have created him and gifted him and inspired him this week. Take this time of study and his words and infuse them with your spirit. In this Advent season, keep us alert, watching, and waiting for your coming. And give us a deep longing for the light and joy that is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. So one of the Advent traditions in our household is that on the first Sunday of every Advent, it's when we put up our tree and get out the decorations and, you know, go through all that festive activity that afternoon after church. And every year, it's a process of rediscovering all the things we sort of forgot we had in the Christmas box, all the different ornaments and all the different decorations. And one of the things that we have is it's like a cardstock piece of paper, but it's folded over. And then you open it up, and out pops this manger scene, right? You've probably seen in books or other things like it, like, you know, when you open something up and it pops out, and it's sort of like this barn type of thing, and it's brown and yellow, and there's a star on top, and so it sort of glows out from there, and there's wise men, and there's sheep, and, you know, the whole type of manger scene. And I'm sure as I'm explaining it to you, you can sort of have an idea of what it is, and maybe you've seen things like that before, but I happened to bring it today, all right? And so here it is, all right? It's a little beat up, the roof's folded over, and the wise men's head, like, got pinched down or whatever, but, you know, you can see it, and it's there. And there's something about that, well, that when I'm describing it to you, yeah, you got a sense of what I'm talking about, but when you see it, when it's manifest there before your very eyes, when you could touch it, you know, you get a better sense of what it is, and especially for those of us who know the manger scene and what it means and what it symbolizes, there's more depth, there's more texture, there's more meaning to what this now is. Well, I want us to think of this as our scripture passage in this same way today, that there's a sense in which we can look at a scripture passage and we can talk about it, we can tell about it, we can understand certain things about it, but there's something amazing when it becomes real, when it becomes manifest before our very eyes. And that's the explosive power of what this scripture passage is about today. And that's the explosive power of what Advent is about. That it's not just the ideas that we're talking about, but the reality of what we proclaim, of what we confess, that this became real and that this is real. And as our first Advent scripture passage a couple weeks ago was from 1 John 1, 1-5, the letter that John wrote, remember back to that passage, it talks about we testify to what we have seen and to what we have heard and what we have touched with our own hands concerning the word of life. And so there's something marvelous and mysterious and explosive and powerful when we think about the Word of God becoming flesh. That there's something in the very nature of God and the good news and the gospel that is made visible and manifest right before our very eyes. And so I want to talk about this in light of the scripture passage that we have today. This is from what's called the introduction of the Gospel of John, the prologue of John. That as John is beginning to set down his thoughts so that he could tell the gospel, the story of Jesus, and so that he could tell that so that people would come to know that Jesus is the Messiah, he gives a little bit of an introduction before he gets into the events and the stories and the teachings of Jesus. And that's what our passage is today, and that's what we've been spending time in Advent. But I want us to think about this as an introduction that teaches us and that shows us and tells us that what God is about to do is something that's unfolding right before us, and it's something that we can see and we can touch. And I want us to do that by looking at these two concepts, these two words. One of them is word, that occurs a lot in our passage that we read today, and the other one is wisdom. Word and wisdom. Now, word and wisdom are abstract concepts, right? They're an abstract noun, right? It's a thing, right? Nouns are person, places, or things, right? And words and word and wisdom are things, but they're abstract, meaning like you can't wrap them up and give them as a Christmas present to anyone, right? A concrete noun, a tangible noun, is something, you know, that has shape that you can touch, and you could put it in a package, wrap it up, and give it to someone. But you can't give word to someone. You can't give wisdom to someone, right? I mean, these are more abstract things. You can't put in a box. And yet, these are the very things that we're talking about today, that God's good news is about these things becoming real and manifest among us. Okay, so I want us to think about these sort of invisible things, word and wisdom, and think about how they become visible, how they become real. So our passage today, as was read for us from Karen, in the beginning was the Word. Now, two things you might notice about this, if you have in your Bible or there in your bulletin, Word is capitalized. So again, it's talking about word a little bit differently than simply the words that we speak or a word written on a page, right? There's something unique about word that calls our attention to. And the other thing that you might recognize from this is the opening phrase, in the beginning. In the beginning. Now, my guess is if you would hear the words once upon a time, you know, that's sort of a formula that you know what's coming next. Like, we're going to have a fairy tale. We're going to have a story about pixie dust and fairies and flying and talking deer and goblins and whatever else, right? So when we hear those words once upon a time, our mind is set in, we're anticipating that. Or if you hear the words a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, right? I mean, we're about to watch a really cool movie, right? Lightsabers and space and the Force and you know, all that sort of thing. Right, so there are these formulas that when we hear, we just know like it's referencing something bigger and greater by not having to say the whole thing, but just sort of introduces it with that catchphrase. Well, the same is true of in the beginning. In the beginning. It's not a phrase that is used a lot in the Bible, but it's used at a pretty significant place. And when we hear the words in the beginning, especially for John's readers, and John's audience and the church that was around John and Jews in Jesus' day, and many of us today, when we hear the words in the beginning, we think of the book of Genesis. That I really appreciated how Lynn wove that into Psalm 33 this morning for the call to worship, right? Tying us back into the story of creation. Because Genesis, the very first verse of the Bible, starts with these exact same words, in the beginning. And John uses those exact same words in the beginning to introduce the telling of the gospel, right? And John is telling the story of creation, in a sense, in light of Jesus the Messiah. John is telling the story of a new creation. And so he riffs off this, the beginning of Genesis, in the beginning, by connecting that here in his gospel. And as we read through that Genesis account, and again, really thankful that Lynn did that for the call to worship, that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, right? And what does God do to create the heavens and the earth? God speaks. Right, God speaks creation into existence. He didn't, go to the mine and dig up ore. Right, he didn't go to the carpenter shop, or he didn't do whatever. God spoke. Right? Isn't that amazing to think of? Everything, nothing existed, and God spoke, and it came into being. And so we have the idea of word. We have the idea of speaking. We have that idea in Genesis. And then John picks that up today in our scripture passage that we read. And John says, not only in the beginning God spoke, but John says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Okay, so capital W, Word, with God. Sort of a separate, different kind of being or thing or person was with God at the beginning. And then he says, and the Word was God, but also the same. All right, sort of this, the Word as a separate agent apart from God through whom God created, but the fact that the Word was also God, God's self, right? And this Word was with God in the beginning. And everything came into being through the Word. I mean, it's this amazing passage where it's mysterious and it's beautiful, and if when we read this passage, we might hear the beginning echoes of what later became known as the Trinity, of three gods in one person, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God the Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, right? We think of all these different layers here, but what John is really doing in this passage is opening up bringing together Genesis and reading this new creation, or telling a new creation story in light of Jesus. All right, so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things came into being through the Word. That God spoke, but the Word is the power or the wisdom or the mystery or the force that's behind existence, behind all of creation. Okay, so we have this idea of the Word as God, as the Word of God, but then also as sort of a separate or different or related kind of person in addition to God. And this is where it connects to the idea of wisdom. Remember I said that two words that are sort of abstract, but we're thinking about them becoming visible and manifest in our lives and in our world. The first is Word, and the second is wisdom. Because John didn't invent this idea of sort of another agent with God through that created, that was a part of creation. John didn't invent that idea. He talked about it in a unique way. He called it the Word, but he didn't invent the idea. That goes deeper into Jewish roots, into the scriptures. Maybe you're familiar with Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and sometimes we know of Proverbs as, clever little sayings that give us wisdom or things to remember to live by, words to live by kind of thing. And it is that, has a lot of that. But in chapter 8 of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom. It talks about wisdom. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. Proverbs comes after Psalm, the book of Psalms. But if you get into Isaiah and Jeremiah, you've gone too far. Kids, you may remember we talked in Sunday school one time about if you open the Bible to the very middle, you'll hit Psalms, most likely. So then just turn a few more pages and then you get to Proverbs. And so Proverbs chapter 8. And again, wisdom is an abstract concept. You can't wrap it up and put it on a box and give it to someone for Christmas. But here in Proverbs chapter 8, it talks about wisdom as a person, right? Wisdom does things that people sort of do. Wisdom calls out in the streets. It talks to people. It calls to people. It teaches people. It's like a person that can do things. And if you scan down to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22, this is what it says. The Lord created me at the beginning of his way, before his deeds long in the past. In other words, in the beginning, right? A long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I, wisdom says, was formed in ancient times, at the beginning, before the earth was. Skipping down to verse 30, I was beside God as a master of crafts. I was having fun, smiling before him all the time. I mean, that's an amazing image of thinking of wisdom as a divine being, as a divine person, working as a master of crafts, smiling before God. And then wisdom says, now children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep to my ways. Happy are those who listen to me, watching daily at my door. Happy are those. A blessing. Blessed are. Right? Later in life, Jesus would say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Right? This is a formula of blessing, of a beatitude. And here, wisdom is saying, happy are those who keep my ways. Happy are those who listen to me. And so again, Proverbs 8 is personifying or imagining wisdom as a being alongside with God through whom, or that what, and this being with God was involved in creation. Okay, so John is really just sort of layering on some of these concepts. Okay, he doesn't necessarily talk about wisdom, but he talks about the Word. And both the wisdom and the Word in Scripture are alongside God in the creation process. But what is wisdom? What is the Word other than, well, God's instruction, God's love, God's vision for how the world should be or could be? What is wisdom? What is the Word except God's instruction for his created order of how the creation should function, of how people should live, of what life in this planet should be like, right? And this was with God from the beginning. And this Word or this wisdom during Advent is what we anticipate and what we celebrate, because this Word was coming into the world. Right? It wasn't just remaining an invisible concept. It wasn't just remaining something far, far away in heaven where we can't see, but it was coming close to be something that people could see with their own eyes and touch with their own hands concerning the Word of life, concerning God, concerning the divine, concerning the wisdom and the love of God made in flesh and made tangible in the world in a real way. And so we have these abstract concepts like Word and wisdom. But what John is doing here in the prologue is bringing these together, echoing the creation story to tell this story of a new creation, of a new thing that God is doing. And just as when God spoke in the beginning, something happened, right? And a world was created, something physical, something real. Well, here in the same way, just as God speaks again, as John tells the story, and really, as God spoke and Jesus was involved from creation from the very beginning, God is going to do something new in a new way, very physical, very real, something very visible again. There's something about God in Scripture that is not only an invisible idea, but necessitates that it becomes real, necessitates that it becomes manifest in time and space. That God's Word is not only something that is heard or understood, but God's Word is something that is seen. Now, I'm speaking up here to you today. You hear these words. Maybe you're understanding them. Who knows? But you don't think of them of seeing the words. And I'm not talking about words on a page. That's something differently entirely. But like, you hear words, not you don't see words, but something about God's word is seen. In creation, God speaks, and the results are seen. And we might even think then to the end of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, Revelation. We looked at that last Advent season. But often in Revelation, John has these visions, and often what happens is John hears a loud noise behind him, right? And he looks, and he sees, right? He hears a loud noise, he looks, and he sees some kind of vision, and God is communicating through that vision. So again, at the very beginning in Genesis and at the very end in Revelation, there's this idea that God's word is more than something that is just heard, but something that is seen. And there's something about the very nature of God's word that connects what is unseen with what is seen. There's something about the nature of who God is that connects the spiritual with the physical, that brings the invisible and the visible together. Ancient Israelites would call this holy ground. They might call this a tabernacle of God dwelling in their midst. They might call this a temple. John is connecting it with Jesus. This new creation story of what is spoken becoming seen. And there's something about this Advent season, and there's something about this good news that John is in our text today giving an introduction to the gospel, the good news. There's something about it that must be seen, must become tangible. So there's a story in one of our Christmas books that we have at home, and it's a German legend or fairy tale of sorts, although it doesn't begin with Once Upon a Time. But it's this German story of every Christmas, there's a little boy that, or there, it was a Christmas, and there was this little boy who was walking through the streets of medieval Germany or whenever the story was set. And this little boy was all by himself, sort of lost and wandering around, and it was winter, and so he was cold, and he didn't have enough, he didn't have a nice coat, he didn't have warm clothes, and so he was shivering, and he was hungry, and he looked all around, and people were getting ready for Christmas. And he so desired that he wanted to be a part of Christmas, of a Christmas. But, you know, he didn't have his family, and he was all by himself. He was an orphan. And he saw one house in the distance, and it was this huge, immaculate house, all decorated and all warm, and there were lights glowing from the inside. And he thought, oh, maybe they'll share their Christmas with me. And he goes up to the house and knocks on the door, and the butler answers the door and says, I'm sorry, you can't come in here, and sends him away. And so the little boy goes on down the road, and he finds another house, and maybe it's not as big, and maybe it's not as immaculate, but again, there's a glow from the inside, and there's, he can tell there's something warm and loving inside, and it's Christmas, and he wants to be a part of it. And so he knocks, he goes up to see, and he peers through the window, but this time the little girl in the house looks at him and makes a face at him through the window, and so he goes away because he knows he won't be able to go into that house for Christmas either. And then finally, he doesn't know what to do. He's really shivering, he's really cold, he's really hungry and feeling alone and discouraged at this point. And then finally, on the edge of town, it's almost, you know, it's way down the road, he sees one little tiny light shining in the distance. And he decides, well, I'll try one more time. And he walks up to that house, and this house is just a poor little hut. It's not much of a house of anything. And they don't have a big feast set before them. But there's a family in there, and there's a couple kids, and they have a small fire going, and they're just singing songs and having a good time. And he knocks on that door, and their first response is to say, hey, someone's outside. Who is it? And they open the door, and they see a little boy, and he's cold, and he's hungry, and they are moved with compassion. And they say, come on in. Share our Christmas with us. We don't have much food. We don't have a lot of presents, but you can come in here and be warmed by the fire, and you can sing songs with us, and you can be a part of our Christmas. And as they were doing that, the boy began to transfigure before them and began to glow with radiant light, and it was the Christ child, right? And the legend of this story that was told in, you know, Germany several centuries ago was that every year the Christ child wanders around the streets waiting for someone to welcome him into their home to spend Christmas with them. And that's a story that, again, it's a once upon a time kind of story, but it's a story that helps us think about making the gospel real. That, you know, maybe in those other houses there were carols being sung, maybe in those other houses there was Christmas being celebrated, but there was only one house in which the Christmas story became real, and it became manifest before them, and the love of God and the love of Christ and the light of the world shone deeply in their hearts and among one another, and they shared that moment, that holy moment, a space and time where God's word, God's love, God's wisdom becomes visible and enacted in the lives of people who share that love and are obedient to the word of God and live into the vision of what God has for all of creation. And so when we think about wisdom and we think about word, yeah, these are abstract concepts, but when it's manifest among us, we know what it is. We can see it, we can touch it, we can feel it with our own eyes and with our own hands, and it becomes this marvelous mystery of God's love incarnate among us, because that's what incarnation is. It's this big theological sounding word, but it means God's love becoming flesh and blood, God's love opening and being right there for people to see and to touch. And so John speaks of our passage today, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning, and what came into being through the Word was life, and that life was the light of all people. Right, this Word of God, mysterious, all-powerful agent, second person of the Trinity, who was with God in the beginning and creator of all things, was coming into the world, putting on flesh and blood. God's Word, God's wisdom, God's light came into this world, and it was held by Mary, and it was seen by shepherds, worshipped by magi from the east, followed by disciples, you know, and received by poor and outcast, lepers, sinners, the sick, the hungry, the poor and the dispossessed. I really appreciated that we sang Helpless and Hungry today in light of what I sort of had on my mind to prepare and present today, because that's what the gospel is about, and that's what the word is about, of the word becoming flesh. And so God's word, which John proclaims as the light to all people, he then says in his letters, like, we have seen this and we have touched this and we have testified to this. And so as we are in this season of being prepared for the coming of the word made flesh, as we are in this season of preparing for the light of Christ to come into the world as it did in Christmas and continues to come anew, may we also see God this Christmas. May we also see God's word in real and tangible ways. May the Christ child be in our hearts and in our homes and in our congregation and in our city in real ways that transfigures and radiates what we consider to be simply ordinary space into something that is divine, where heaven and earth come together, where what is seen and what is unseen, what is visible and what is invisible come together in a divine, holy moment where heaven and earth meet. And so may God, this be made real to you this Christmas. May it be real to you, may it be real to me, may it be real to us, so that we might step out of just the world of darkness of being told a little bit about something and having an idea of what it is, but that we might rejoice in God's marvelous light for what God has done in and among us. And so may the world see the light, may we see the light, and may we be witnesses of this light. May we see it glowing in Christ Jesus, may we see it glowing in one another, Maybe you see it glowing in this church and in the church and in our world now and forevermore. Amen.